It is simple. Things are not what they seem to be. On the face of it, past experience doesn't seem to provide an adequate basis for analysis or for assessment and judgment. In fact, there may be no distinctions to be made between one thing and something else, one action and another, one day and the next. They may have all become indistinguishable from each other. That is possible. But habits persist. For example, I think that I am the same as I was yesterday.
I think that I am the same.
I think I look the same.
I think
you look older to me. I notice the changes in your face and the fluctuations of your stamina. You look tired. It is you I'm looking at. It is yourself. I am the same as I've always been. But you are different. Dumb, even. Like an animal. Someone made up my mind for me somewhere. Someone played with me. And I'm suffering from exposure to dangerous habits, from unwanted and unsolicited influences. But in my mind, everything remains as it has always been, since I can remember, when I was separated from myself at the early age. And that is the least of it. It's all the same, my memory serves no purpose. Contradictory messages get scrambled somewhere between the mind and the body, and that is where I am. In confusion, where dreams and dreaming are deformed, disrupting the regions where dreams and day-to-day living are in cohabitation. That is where you are to me, where there is the fear of every sort of future. And in bitter contradiction, we fall over backwards unseen, to be caught in receptacles placed by the mothers and the fathers on purpose. They say, there will be no disasters. Disasters will be leached out. There will be no catastrophes. They said so. They are clear about that. Yes, they are. They have told us so. They have said as much. They say, look, listen. There will be no disasters. There will be no catastrophes. Everything is as is, just so and so. And we know, we have been informed that provisions have been made for every foreseeable circumstance, that all eventualities will be accounted for. We have been informed. They will brook no questions. They will give no answers. There will be no discussions. There are no arguments. Everything is as provided. We have been informed. Dissension will not take place. There will be no dissension. There will be no disasters. There are no arguments. we are being accounted for. They say everything is as is, being just so, for the best possible reasons, in the best of possible worlds. Isn't that so?
You're losing.
You're a loser.
You lost
again.
You
already lost.
You're losing.
Loser.
You're
loser. Loser.
Loser. Loser.
You're a loser.
Loser.
You're a loser.
You lost again.
You lost again.
You're gonna lose.
You're a loser.
You're gonna lose.
Loser. Loser. Loser.
Loser.
You're a loser.
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 You're gonna lose.
Lose. Lose. Lose. Lose. Lose.
You're gonna lose.
Hello. Just listen to me. Everything going to be all right.
Listen to me. Everything is going to be all right.
Just listen to me. Everything going to be all right.
Listen. Everything is going to be all right.
Everything going to be all light. Just listen to me. Everything going to be all right.
Listen to me. Everything is going to be all right. Listen to me. Everything is going to be all right.
Just listen to me. Everything going to be all right.
Listen to me. Everything is going to be all light.
Just listen to me. Everything going to be all right. Just listen to me. Everything going to be all light.
Listen to me. Everything is going to be all right.
One.
measured out their time. Someone had marked this day. Someone to whom no heed is paid. Neither hurry or delay. Those charming cockney lads were to their manner born. Revenge and death and violence was the code which they had sworn. Card games played in a back room, preparing for the fray. Who would play the ace of spades and challenge the name? Somewhere on an East End street, a knife awaits.
A man in every road, the sun has set. Far back in 66, a basement flat, the scene was set. Their myth was to be found.
Blade sank deep into his throat. The carpet turned red.
Did not bring them any tears.
When Jack the Hat
fell dead. Broken mirrors bleed silver light. They take no liberty. Buried in the underpass remains Jack's destiny.
The evidence, and there was evidence to support it, that he was a man given to extreme violence, but the slight of provocation that he did. They had generated this feeling of terror, this susceptibility to violence to all kinds of people. They had almost total disregard for law and order, for authority generally. This, to my mind,
born with nothing, it's not hard. A villain's life to choose. No rich man's laws will stop the poor. But what have they to lose?
We stare into the screen. Learn nothing from the real. Keep our distance from the outside world, blind to what it will reveal.
And now in book and film and song,
their tale is told today. Hackneyed villain, hero lords, whose dreams are locked away.
the manifestation of counterconsciousness. An object-based consciousness predominates in our culture, that of society's institutions, and a person-based consciousness, that of the community, has to exist as a counterconsciousness, because the latter is considered subversive to a controlled, predetermined social fabric. The full social and psychological complexity of people is recognized in counterconsciousness, which is built around a mutual involvement between people. Implicit in this is the downgrading of the social priority of property. Counterconsciousness is self-organizing. Relationships between people are self-determined and formed between what they can mutually establish are their priorities and needs. Thus, in practice, all persons are more directly involved in establishing their own community, the one in which they live, and participating in the decisions that affect their daily life. Important to people that are actually living within the new reality is a fundamental fight back against the surrounding determinism. People simply don't want to give in easily, and, despite the enormous psychological and physical pressures on them towards their own passivity, there is a continual struggle to establish their own individual identity and to retain contact with other people living there where they live. Counterconsciousness here exists as a kind of underground network within the new reality and is a parallel world that is in an enforced coexistence with its surroundings. The totality of the isolating pressures within the new reality and the interlinking between media and physical reality make the construction of a coherent view extremely difficult. Generally, people's perceptual models of the surroundings in which they live are highly fragmented and contextual, built on just their own immediate experience. Such fragmented impressions, reactions and tensions contribute significantly to people's inability to act for themselves. However, if there is a chance for people to extend the boundaries of their contained lives by creating new territories of activity, then they can become an active context for the creation of a parallel world. The alienation of the territory must be important to the manifestation of such activities. They are in themselves alienates from the dominant culture that people are trying to escape from. Alienation is a crucial key to the building of an identity for those persons that go to the created territory, and their common, mutually shared hatred of the new reality is a catalyst for the formation of a larger community feeling that can be transferred back into everyday life within the confines of the housing estate. At another more subtle level, the destruction of the environment is not destruction at all, but is creative. People are simply registering their mark, showing that they exist. Acts of so-called vandalism as counterconsciousness are no more than anarchistic exhibition of people's energies and individualism. Also, acts of destruction are symbolic agents to the establishing of a counterconsciousness. The group activities from which they arise, such as a hang around on stairways or the destroying of playground facilities, are rarely carried out by a lone person, but the result of a small group or gang. Context for counterconsciousness. The unofficial nature of the context established to express counterconsciousness is essential to their power as agent, but also equally important is their close relationship to the normal, daily behaviours of residents. While wastelands adjacent or within the new reality are a powerful context just to identify with, is how they are used to agency specific activities as diverse as track bike riding or glue sniffing that is really significant. Camp building is one example of how the wasteland is used to agency counterconsciousness. Sometimes small camps are constructed, comprising just a few car seats, but it can be quite elaborate, involving covered dugouts or structures that may even have a roof made of something like corrugated iron sheeting. The camp has many functions. Two important ones are that it acts as a focus for group activities, and at the same time provides a screen from the prying eyes of the surrounding urban world. Within the camp, the group or gang is safe to indulge in its own activities, create its own special languages and behaviours. Thus, the more inaccessible and hidden they are from the gaze of outsiders, so much the better. Pathways and open spaces become the context for track bike riding or horse riding, and while these are individualistic pursuits and often competitive, they still essentially rely on a group, be it an ad hoc one, for support. Other locations are used to furtively hide those parts of the new reality that are the most screened. Stairways, lift landings, the complex of sheds that are provided for resident storage, also garages, especially those that have been abandoned, the ones which always seem to have everyone's rubbish thrown into them. Interestingly, garages should be the one piece of private space that would have the potential to be a vehicle for residents to be creative and communicative. However, they are, of course, sited away from the actual blocks where they are living, and are nearly always without any services such as electricity or water, the basic ingredients for anything to be really created. On the other hand, where resistance has been more formally organised by residents through a tenants' association, then their own flats are often used, and this perhaps represents, symbolically, the most powerful context of all for manifesting counterconsciousness. The transportation of objects. Objects are important agents in the expression of counterconsciousness. However, in nearly all instances, their role is changed from the one given or assigned to them from the dominant authoritative culture from which they originate. The dominant culture's ownership of the means of production requires that an object's use is either transformed from the one intended or extended into a territory outside its boundaries in which counterconsciousness can be manifest. Here the object becomes an agent, as it is the means through which relationships are initiated and enabled within the group, or fantasy roles constructed by the individual. For example, the walker in the wasteland with his air rifle and dog sees himself as really the lone hunter in the forest or some backwoodsman's figure. Instead of an object symbolically replacing relationships with other people, as in a dominant cultural context, it is the means through which its pressures can be resisted. Objects are more tool-like. They are the trigger for exchanges between people, and their references by this implication extend into the community. If they do not already have this characteristic as inherent, then they are given it through transformation. One particularly interesting transformation is the can of glue, usually Evo stick. In one context, the can of Evo stick has a deterministic constructional role, i.e. the making and repairing of objects. This is its positivistic role within the dominant culture, but is completely negated by young people transforming this by sniffing the glue in order to get high. Even more significant is the taking of the can of glue into a wasteland, where it is a prime agent for the building of a camp, an important agent for the generating of group cohesiveness. The crucial factor is that the very alienation of glue sniffing as an activity amongst young people from the dominant cultural norms is crucial to it functioning as their means of escape. Ultimately, the most important form of glue sniffing is communal, and involves a glue can being burnt on a fire, which forms the centre point of the camp, as this then involves the transformation of other objects as part of the resulting anarchistic group hire. Cars are driven into the wasteland and set fire to, then just left as rusting monuments to the group's activities, eventually to be taken over by the forces of the wilderness, and to find a harmony with them. This is again a specific transportation of an object from one context to another. Also small objects that are already lying around, or have been brought over to the camp by the group, are just picked up and utilised, often with extreme points of energy. The can of glue is a highly symbolic object in this context because of what results from its transformation, as this in turn also results in other objects being transformed to act as agents for counterconsciousness. There are many other alien activities that involve transformation. For example, one extreme activity on the Avondale Estate, Hayes, West London, meant tenants standing on the bath in their flat so as to put their ear against the air vent outlet, and from this everyone's conversation the whole block could be heard, i.e. transformation of air vent to receiver.
Hello, Kevin Atherton speaking. When Audio Arts invited me to do a piece of work for this, their brand new 3-cassette issue containing 4 hours of original sound works by over 40 artists and accompanied by a 12-page, fully illustrated booklet available to you, the public, direct from Audio Arts, 6 Firewood Road, London, SW4, at the knockdown price of £9.99, and knowing that no art college, library or private collection should be without this issue, a primary artwork in itself, I of course replied to the invitation by saying, no. Instead I said, I'll advertise it. Buy it. Now.